What if the worst chore of your childhood could become the most coveted activity on the block? Tom Sawyer discovers this alchemy one Saturday morning, staring down 30 yards of fence that need whitewashing. While other boys head off to swimming holes and adventures, Tom faces hours of tedious labor until he transforms the entire equation. By pretending the task requires artistic genius and special skill, he turns punishment into privilege. Soon, boys are literally paying him with apples, marbles, dead rats on strings, and other treasures of boyhood currency for the chance to wield that brush. This isn't just clever mischief. It's an accidental discovery of profound truths about human nature. We desire what seems difficult to obtain, and work becomes play the moment we're not obliged to do it. Tom stumbles upon principles that economists and psychologists spend careers studying, all while avoiding actual labor. His schemes extend far beyond fence painting, though. When Aunt Polly tries to catch him playing hooky, he produces evidence of innocence so carefully staged that only his half-brother notices the switched thread colors. Tom instinctively understands that authority figures can be managed through strategic affection, well-timed hugs, and theatrical performances. These aren't just pranks, they're sophisticated social maneuvers that reveal a natural intelligence consistently outsmarting the adult world's attempts at control. When Tom spots Becky Thatcher, blue eyes, yellow braids, that devastating pansy tossed over a fence, his previous love, Amy Lawrence, vanishes entirely. Their courtship follows childhood's awkward choreography, slate drawings, whispered declarations, promises sealed with a kiss. But Tom's accidental mention of Amy shatters everything. He deliberately ignores Becky while lavishing attention on Amy. She retaliates by sitting suspiciously close to Alfred Temple, examining picture books with exaggerated interest. Both pretend indifference while suffering intensely, each performance designed to wound. The jealousy game escalates until their eventual reconciliation, demonstrating that children experience pride, jealousy, and heartbreak with surprising intensity. When they finally reconcile after the cave adventure, their feelings mature beyond games into genuine care, a small but significant step toward emotional adulthood. Childhood romance isn't practice for the real thing. It is the real thing, just smaller. Midnight in the Graveyard. Tom and Huck witness Dr. Robinson, Muff Potter, and Injun Joe arrive to rob a grave. A payment dispute erupts into violence. The doctor lies dead, stabbed with Potter's knife, and Injun Joe frames the unconscious Potter. The boys flee in terror, their carefree existence suddenly burdened by terrible knowledge. If they tell, Injun Joe will kill them. If they don't, Potter might hang for murder. Their blood oath of silence resolves immediate fear, but creates profound guilt, especially when Potter accepts condemnation with heartbreaking resignation. His gratitude for small kindnesses, tobacco and matches through cell bars, intensifies Tom's moral agony. Despite his terror, Tom takes the witness stand and tells the truth, transforming from mischievous boy to genuine hero. Yet victory comes with consequences. Nightmares replace carefree sleep, and Injun Joe's vengeance becomes a real threat. Tom trades innocence for the burden of conscience, discovering that doing right often means sacrificing personal comfort and safety. Superstition governs Tom's world with scientific authority. When Tom and Huck debate wart cures, dead cats at midnight versus spunk water from rotting stumps, they argue with genuine conviction. These aren't childish fancies, but cultural inheritance as powerful as formal religion. Treasure hunting follows strict supernatural rules: haunted houses, islands, dead trees where shadows fall at midnight. When digging fails, they recalculate timing and return at the proper hour. A howling dog near Muff Potter signals death. A whippoorwill at Johnny Miller's house serves as another omen. These beliefs constitute an alternative knowledge system for understanding life's uncertainties, especially vital when childhood mortality was common and medicine limited. Their murder oath blends formal vows with supernatural consequences. Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer swears they will keep mum about this, and they wish they may drop down dead in their tracks if they ever tell and rot. Children build moral frameworks when adult systems fail, creating bridges between visible and invisible worlds that govern their lives more completely than any adult authority. St. Petersburg's social hierarchy places Judge Thatcher at the top and Huckleberry Finn at the bottom. Huck embodies absolute freedom, sleeping where he pleases, skipping school and church, answering to no one. Respectable parents forbid their children from associating with this idle and lawless and vulgar and bad outcast. Yet boys secretly envy his unrestricted life. Church services function as social performances, with congregants processing in by status, postmaster, mayor, justice, Widow Douglas, and the belle of the village, followed by a troop of lawn-clad and ribbon-decked young heartbreakers. This ritual establishes the community's pecking order while revealing respectability's performative nature. When Tom and Huck discover $12,000 in treasure, wealth suddenly overrides other social markers. Yet after 3 weeks under Widow Douglas's guardianship, Huck disappears, unable to bear civilization's constraints. His declaration that being rich ain't what it's cracked up to be challenges values that prize wealth and status above freedom. McDougal's cave transforms Tom from a boy playing at danger to one genuinely confronting mortality. Separated from their picnic group, Tom and Becky's adventure turns life-threatening when Tom's failure to mark their path leaves them lost with dwindling candles. As Becky weakens into despair, Tom maintains a brave face while privately acknowledging their dire circumstances. When their last candle extinguishes, plunging them into absolute darkness, Tom refuses to surrender, searching with a kite line. The cave also brings Tom face to face with Injun Joe, connecting separate plot threads while heightening danger. His eventual discovery of daylight through a small opening represents both literal and symbolic salvation. His return for Becky, who initially believes he's tormenting her with false hope, demonstrates growth from self-centered boy to genuine hero. Their emergence 5 miles downriver represents passage into maturity, earning adult approval through courage rather than clever manipulation. $12,000 in gold coins. Every boy's fantasy realized. Tom and Huck's discovery creates an enormous sensation throughout St. Petersburg. Judge Thatcher invests Tom's money while Widow Douglas takes guardianship of Huck, elevating them from poverty to privilege. Tom embraces this transformation, but after 3 weeks of civilization, Huck disappears, found hiding in an empty hogshead, smoking his pipe in tattered comfort. His lament captures what wealth cannot buy. The widow eats by a bell. She goes to bed by a bell. She gets up by a bell. Everything's so awful regular, a body can't stand it. Huck's willingness to surrender his share demonstrates that for some spirits, autonomy matters more than social advancement. Tom's solution, persuading Huck to endure civilization another month to join his robber gang, reveals how imagination provides escape even as childhood recedes. Twain understood what we keep forgetting. Childhood isn't preparation for life. It is life, lived at full intensity. The real treasure isn't gold or status, but the freedom to occasionally hide in a hogshead and remember when time moved by adventure rather than bells.